This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning. This is Sex Talk with John T and Tamar. This is Unradio. This is Unscripted. And this is this morning most definitely uncensored and fascinating and interesting and fun and absolutely awesome. And a whole bunch of the most awesome and beautiful people in the studio.
Most amazing, beautiful woman in the world, I think, sitting
absolutely
here.
Absolutely. There we go. This is incredible.
From the naughties to the saints, we'll see who's who.
Nobody's a saint. And nobody's a sinner.
That I agree.
And everybody's everywhere on the spectrum all at once. And isn't that amazing?
Absolutely.
So let's start with Vanessa is here.
Hello, everybody. I'm Mistress Cleo from Sissy Corner, South Africa.
Is that it? Okay. It's fine. And it's so cool for my friend Elna Rudolph to be here finally.
Thank you for having me.
You're going to talk close to the mic like you're going to give it a big smooch.
Okay, thank you. That better?
Or is this your masculine kind of...
Did
you give your hand what for this morning?
Me, I'm not too sure what to do with.
Okay. Well, you can't stick a finger in it.
Check for muscle spasm.
There we go. Leanne.
Hi.
Welcome. It's
thank
really
you.
Awesome for you to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tell us in one sentence or 20 sentences who you are.
So I'm a trans woman and I also run an organization called Be True to Me, which is a support group, and we do some training on to trans people as well.
Fantastic. Thank you. Surette.
Hello.
No, we need more than hello.
Okay, I'm Surette Alive.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a femininity image consultant.
Okay.
And that's what I do.
A femininity image consultant. That's pretty cool. Okay. So let's do some of this admin stuff that we have to do and get this first.
Dirty dictionary word.
Today's dirty dictionary word is a hole in one.
Oh, I know that.
You think so?
I always know a hole in one.
Yeah. Tamar, any idea what a hole in one is?
Yeah, it sounds a bit like I can understand kind of a lot of maybe cocks in one place. One pussy, one mouth, maybe.
No,
sorry,
you are
I'm
far
jumping.
Off the mark.
Really? I thought I.
No.
Well, for me, it means something else.
Okay. Any idea what a hole in one is?
I don't know about the sex part, but I know about the sports part. Hole in one is in golf.
Yeah, we're not interested in golf.
Okay, then it has to be where I put my finger in a socket kind of thing.
No.
I was close?
No, nowhere near.
The nerdy doctor knows about a hole in one is that I do have insurance for if I do accidentally hit one, then my insurance covers it. So
okay.
I don't know about sexually if they'll cover me for that one.
Okay, nowhere near. Yeah.
Something only men have.
Something only men. You're in the ballpark. It's something only men can do.
Okay.
Surette, any clues?
Well, the only thing I can think of is the physiotherapist putting her finger in your cookie.
Why the physiotherapist? I'm just curious.
That's what I've learned from Dr. Alna.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, because we're like, what the? Which physiotherapist is that? I'll just name a number.
They're usually quite cool.
Yeah.
So,
and is it to help with your lower back?
That you should ask Dr. Alna.
Okay, Dr. Alna.
Yeah,
it does relieve lower back.
Absolutely. Okay. So none of you are anywhere near, actually.
Fine.
So WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090 and we will tell you what a hole-in-one is. So let's do this as well, because we have to. Sex, Murder, and Puppets. The Happy Time Murders is a crime comedy film featuring the comedic geniuses Melissa McCarthy, Maya Rudolph, Elizabeth Banks, and Joel McHale. When the puppet cast of an 80s children's TV show begins to get murdered one by one, a disgraced LAPD detective turned private eye puppet takes on the case. It's a hilarious whodunit that is decidedly no Sesame All Street. Happy Time Murderers releases in South African cinemas on the 31st of August, which is today. There we go. So
I saw the ad this morning, yeah. Regardless, and I was a little bit, I thought it's a joke, because you actually see like a puppet and it says murder. So it might be the new cult movie, who knows?
Well, we need to find out what the term for puppet porn is, because we know it's there somewhere.
Well, we kind of already covered people that dress up as puppets or as kind of, you know, Barney figures, animalistic stuff. Done that. So now, yeah, what is the... And do they have, like, puppet penises and puppet pussies? Does it work? Or maybe... I don't know.
Well, that's going to be an interesting one. So if you know about any puppet porn, let us know. We're just kind of interested.
We'd love to get some links on that. There thanks. And there we go. Now we can go back to real stuff. Yes. Thanks.
Okay, one more announcement, and then we're going to kind of get into everything so we don't get sidetracked, which is the Cape Town workshops are happening. All venues are confirmed. And the pool for the water flow massage in Cape Town looks amazing. The water temperature is incredible. And there's not a lot of places left already. So all of that information is on eroslife.co.za. And I'm so looking forward to meeting and sharing with you guys in Cape Town from the 12th of September, the 11th, which is awesome. Fantastic. Okay. When did you know you were a trans person? And when do people know? Do they know from age 10, as some people say? Do they know from 18?
No, you always know.
Okay.
The challenge is not knowing what you were. And if you go, people in my generation, we didn't have the internet when we were 10.
Yeah.
And so trying to work out what was going, why your mind was different, was a real challenge. And you just sort of thought you were alone.
So at age 10, if you know, then you know.
You know, absolutely.
So you might know something is different, but you might not always know what that is?
Correct.
Okay.
And, yeah, I think for me, the click moment was at the age of 12, looking at girls and going, not thinking, I like girls, I want to be a girl.
Mm.
And I want to, that's how I want to be.
Okay.
So it wasn't an attraction, it was a connection of emotional connection and almost like a jealousy of what I couldn't be.
So it's more like your soul knows.
Yes.
And the rest of you has to kind of catch up with that, your body and your mind.
Absolutely.
And everything else.
Correct.
Okay. Elna, would you agree with that it's like such a much deeper thing?
Look, when you speak to a lot of trans people, yeah, everyone will have a different story. Like, for instance, yesterday I spoke to a patient who read a novel where the main character was trans, and then so the person presents completely male to me, but then says I'm a trans female, and never thought that she was trans until she read this novel and now really identifies with this person. That's not a very typical story, you know, but it does bring it to that soul part where there might have been this hidden thing in this person that could just never get a name or a label, and now that they've constructed, read this whole story, it's easier to then say, yes, that's exactly who I am. But many of the trans people, I just see, it's just, you know, it's just as good as if I'm asking you, or you may be a girl, it's as clear as daylight to them that they were born in the wrong body. So, you know, it's not even something mysterious, it's just there.
Okay. So there's a really interesting kind of philosophical, mystical aspect to this. And I'd like to look at it just for a moment, which is why in this universe with this amazing sense of order and creativity, where does this come from? And I'm not saying that it's a mistake, because I don't get it as a mistake in a way. I don't know that mistakes happen too much. on a kind of mystical sense. In a bigger picture of life, where does this come from?
So I think there's Dr. Corinne Rasher does a talk where she really looks at a very basic saying, in pregnancy, in week 8, the genitalia are formed, where the brain only develops around week 18 to 20. And so if there is a hormonal change in the womb, that the brain development of the gender identity could be different to what the genitalia is giving you. And I've summarized a half an hour technical medical into a two-liner there. But I think that's just such a nice summary to look at. There is possibly a kind of thing. There's not something you can take a photograph of somebody's brain and say yes or no. Sure, there are things like brain size scanning, and there's a lot of stuff around that. But I think that for me is just such a helpful thing.
And is it like an indication of maybe the fluidity within all of us?
Absolutely. And I think something that I always sort of use when talking is sort of six areas of gender identity.
Yes.
And gender identity can't be boxed. But sort of saying you got your cis male and cis female, cis being a Latin word on the same side of your assigned gender at birth, male, female, you get your trans man, trans woman who are really people who want, I want to say, a once-off correction of their gender to move to the other side, if I can call it that.
Why do you use the word correction?
And I think that's where people sort of say, I'm born in the wrong body kind of
aspect. That's what I'm asking.
And as I said, that's an area of people. The fifth area is intersex people. People are born with male or female genitalia or reproductive organs. So there's people out there who may just have one gender genitalia, but internally they have both reproductive organs. And I know Dr. Rudolph has a patient, I know of one at least. And then the sixth area is your gender fluid people or your non-binary people. And that for me is a lot of, like Elna's story now of somebody reading a novel, sort of clicks into this, hold on, I'm not stuck in a gender that I was assigned at birth. Where sort of a trans man female says, hold on, I feel I'm born in the wrong body. And yes, I know politically correctness within the trans community, I might get shot for doing this because I really don't want to box people. But I use the word area because it's helpful for people to see those six kind of areas.
Okay. And in terms of male, female, female, male, what kind of spread is there of this?
So, statistics is very few and far between, and it's very unreliable. And our pre-conversation before the show is to say many years ago there was no acceptance of trans people, so a lot of people just kept it to themselves. So historical kind of stats are awful. In terms of our trans community in Gauteng with the support group, it's about a 60-40 split of assigned male at birth, assigned female at birth. I don't know if Dr. Rudolph has got some stats from her practice. So I would guess it's almost equal between assigned male at birth, assigned female at birth.
Okay.
Yeah, I see more trans females than males for some reason.
Females to be males or males being...
So if you say a trans female, then it's likely. So she's a woman, but she was assigned male at birth.
Okay.
So I see more people that were born in male bodies or took the male at birth and then that transition to female. And we don't like to say they want to become females. They are females. They just want to, like what we call it these days is gender affirming hormone treatment, not gender replacement or something like that, or gender affirming surgery. We just help them to align their bodies with who they are. For some reason I see more females than males. It's so difficult because, you know, there's just the entry bias into accessing care because it's expensive.
Yeah, it's enormous. But the bias for it is huge on so many levels, religiously, socially.
Yes. Yeah, and I think what's nice about what we do today is when you and I discuss, you know, let's do something for Women's Month, and let's celebrate trans women. And the message that we're trying to get across is, like, if you're a parent of a trans child, celebrate it. It's okay. And if you have a trans family member, celebrate it. And if you have a trans person in the workplace, celebrate it. Like, we need to celebrate any kind of individual. Don't be afraid of it. Don't try and shy away from it. You know, Sham, I saw these parents this morning with a 13-year-old trans child that so desperately hope that the child went into puberty. And what trans people will tell you is that when they go into puberty, it gets worse. You know, you get many gender dysphoric children that will play in the opposite sex clothes and stuff like that. But when they start, like, when a trans woman or girl starts to get erections, it's awful. They really hate it. Or can you imagine when a trans man starts to menstruate? So puberty usually worsens it. Then you come on, and they very seldom change their mind after that. But the parents so desperately want to hear from me that no, we'll be able to change their mind, and unfortunately it doesn't happen. So we try and be very affirmative, and look, every high school kid these days is demisexual and all kinds of weird things that we don't even really, I have to Google the terms often, but trans people, it's not something they decide on a whim or a phase or something like that. It's really who they are.
You know, it brings up something interesting, and I never thought of this before, so I actually didn't do any research this week, that if you look at kind of more ancient and tribal societies, a greater acceptance of trans people and a greater space for them. And I would imagine that that exists
all through the
in
ages.
Tribal society. Yeah, because it's not something new. You know, everything has been there since we were there.
Exactly. And if you go and look in ancient Hebrew text, the original Hebrew text doesn't have just male, female. There's six genders in the Hebrew text.
So much down to the wonders of the religious people who have given us so many wonderful gifts. This was another one of yours, yes? But it's fascinating that there was such a greater acceptance of this in more ancient and more open societies.
Yeah, because people want to say these days that, it's Caitlyn Jenner. Is it her name?
Yeah.
It's just because there was this one trans, famous trans person, now all of a sudden we trans people are popping out.
And Jeffrey Tambor in Trance kind of started the whole, and every other series came from that. And
it's wonderful that there is more acceptance these days, but it doesn't, a trans celebrity doesn't cause other people to be trans at all.
Yeah, and it was never anything new.
Yeah.
And I think if you ask most trans people, would they want to transition? And the answer would be no. It's hard.
It's hard.
And you don't choose to go through it. It's not something that a cool kind of thing that you just, this is fun to do. It's definitely not fun. And you changing the chemical structure of your body. And that does some very interesting things.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing. And it changes your entire being.
Exactly.
And the consequences. And in my practice, I've been talking a lot about this, and I've been looking at it in my own life this week, that we will change to the degree that we have the courage to change.
Yes.
The willingness. And I've been doing a lot more heart work than ever. And when you open your heart to a greater degree, you become aware of the impact that starts to have on your life. And the consequences of that are enormous.
And it gives you the ability to live life to the full.
Yeah.
With a purpose and an inner happiness.
Yeah. And the consequences of that are huge, because you look at your job, you look at your family, you look at your relationships, and you see how many of these structures support that. And do I have the courage to actually change the ones that don't? Because the impact of that's going to be enormous. Emotionally, spiritually, physically, sexually, financially, on so many levels.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How long did the transformation, and I know that it's a process, and I think on some levels it might be a never-ending process. How long did this take for you?
So, that's an interesting question I don't know the answer to. How long's a piece of string?
I
think if you medically, you're not going to get anything under 3 years.
Okay.
And
that by itself is a huge commitment.
And cost.
Mm.
And I think that cost can determine a lot of people's transition and slow it down or speed it up.
Yeah, because it's not accessible to absolutely everybody.
If I can jump in on this topic.
Please do.
It's about time you
said something.
Yeah. I've been to New York lately to see some clients there. And so basically what I do is I focus mainly on the image of the client. So Dr. Alna does the medical side. And then there's the psychologist that looks after the client mentally. Mm. But for the image only, the client has to be, she needs a significant boldness to be able to step out. So Dr. Alna can look after her and the psychologist can look after her, but she has to step out the door and go to the restaurant and actually present herself as a female.
Mm.
And what we've done there is the client would fly from, say for instance, we were in New York and she would fly in from Florida in mail, and then her appointment would be 3 days long with us. And there we, the moment she steps into our studio, we would dress her up in female and go out into the streets, go do shopping with her. We would go to the restaurants, make sure that we help her to communicate with the world outside. And that she would come for 3 days at a time. Then she would go back to her home in male. And from there, every month she would come 3 days, 3 days, 3 days, just to practice, because she doesn't have the freedom to do it at home. Mm-hmm. And then what was quite nice in New York is we sat together, the facial surgeon, the psychologist, and the medical doctor with the client, and together we created a plan and a timeline from when are you ready to present yourself in the corporate workplace as a female. And we would like for her to practice that and to practice the feminine movements. We do makeup lessons. We spent about 6 months or longer, because that depends on her own readiness. So we tailor-made it for the client. To answer the question, I don't think there's really a timeline, depending on how ready the client is to move forward, and also financially. So she has to pay the medical doctor, she has to do the medical treatments, but now we have to actually create a wardrobe and a style for her, and that's quite costly.
Absolutely.
But that's the same thing that Fetish Haven does in Sissy Corner, is that you have, because we deal with a lot of cross-dressers, we deal with a lot of trannies. I know that some people don't like to be called that, but it's what they want to be called, the people that come to us. So what I'm saying. So I mean, I'm doing this 27 years. So I deal with people not once, every day. They come, and that's, some people don't want to be called drag artists. Some people don't want to be called a tranny. Some people don't want to be called a transsexual or transgender. Some want to be called just who I am, my name. But the reason why I'm saying the words is so that they, the different, like you said, areas that they have. But what we do at Fetish Haven is, if you have these feelings that you want to dress, you come through, you try, we dress you up, because a lot of people have dressed already. So you come, and I hear a lot of stories. I hear from when they were children, their moms and their parents and their uncles and their aunties, or somebody usually in the family dressed them up. And they, with us, this is what they tell me, and they liked it. They enjoyed the feel of the silk, the way they felt, and whatever, and also the feelings they have. And then later, it's part of them. So what we go out. We do dinners, dancing. We go out shopping. We do everything.
And that also helps with the comfort.
And it does,
client,
because now, yes, and I will never take them to a place where I think they're going to not feel comfortable. Yeah. We start with something simple, and then you progress.
Yeah, because learning to be
exactly
as a totally different person in the world is, it must be so difficult.
But sorry, just 1 second. What also happens is when you go out, you think everybody's looking at you because, oh, they can see I'm not really, they can see this, or they can see that. You know what? It's actually in your head. Because if you're a woman, even if I walk, people always look. I don't think, oh, it's because, oh, this is this. You know what I mean? So when a cross-dresser or tranny or whatever, I'm sorry, I know yous are going to shoot me and stab me with a knife. But you know, when a transgender or what is the correct word?
Trance.
Trance. Okay, trance goes out. You think because you've dressed and because you've done this that everybody's looking at you. And I think once you get over that, oh, it's a breeze. We go to movies. We go to the theater, Monty, anywhere.
But that's and the support of people too.
And you've got people that support you.
Sure. Yeah. And I think the sort of thing is that we need to just consider that gender identity and gender expression is not the same thing.
And sexual expression of that.
And there's nothing that says if a cis woman walks around in a pair of jeans and a t-shirt and short hair, that she's not a woman.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
There's nothing that dress is saying defining your gender. That's your identity. How you express it is what's important.
Yeah. And then that's a whole other world is through this change, what happens to your sexual identity?
And your sexual orientation is not the same.
No, and that's where it, I think, also gets quite fascinating.
The heterosexual, homosexual normative is very much in a cis normative world. Mm. And I know through some crud word and I don't talk Afrikaans. Right, I was having a good laugh at me. But it's really, you know, as a cis person, you're attracted to a male or you're attracted to a female. Yeah. In a trans world, you're not, because you're not identifying in a binary male-female spectrum where orientation sort of points. And so when you're on hormones or whatever, your attraction to your gender does change or can change.
About that, Leanne, because I think that's quite an important and fascinating point for a lot of people of how that might change.
And so people who are attracted to women, who are trans women, will still be attracted and will remain in relationships or may not. And may then say, hold on, I'm now attracted to men now and I want to be in a relationship with a man. Yeah. And that could be almost fluid, is that the sort of bisexual kind of thing is very much at play here.
Yeah.
But the question really becomes in, at what point do you define? At your identity layer? Or do you have to start a transformation before it becomes the orientation swaps? And there is no answer to that question politically. I mean, medically, you could come up with a definition.
Yeah. Elna?
You know, having observed many trans people, I always ask them on the first consultation, you know, what's your orientation? It's just somewhere for me to note it, basically. It's not really of much importance. But some just love the affirmation to hear, oh, so actually you're a straight woman, because it's a man's body. The person might have identified as gay up to now because the person is interested in men, but the person is a woman, so it's a straight woman. And then to tell parents that, no, actually your child is straight. It's just a transgender child, but the child is straight. So some people like that, and some people are really fluid, and I do tell them about it. Because, for instance, a teenager might have a teenage trans female might have an infatuation with other women. So she thinks she's in love with them, but actually she would just love long hair. And then when we change it to a female, then now all of a sudden now she actually is interested in men. So we talk about that it might change, and you know, to be open and accepting to whatever happens.
It's a very fluid space.
It's a fluid space, and you know, the partners are always so interesting to me, because some people do need to get divorced if they were married, and you know, the primary relationship breaks up when they transition, but some don't. And it's interesting because this person, the partner, was a, let's say, a straight woman who married a man, she thought, and now this person transitions and becomes completely female, and now it's two women that's married, you know, so is she now a lesbian or not? And so you don't necessarily have to put it into a box. And the church is very interesting, because you know, if the body is male and the other body is female, then it's fine, it's not sin. But if the person on the inside is then female and she's having sex with that person, but at least it's a penis and a vagina. Is that now sin or not sin? You know, so it's lovely.
It must be a real fascination for some of the religious people.
Yeah,
wow.
No, but it's important, you know, because in some churches, like being gay is not allowed, but now is trans a medical condition or not? And so I like to just try and get people more open-minded, because the reality is, and I actually use this analogy to say that why can't we say that the trans person was born with the wrong genes? Because my body codes for XX, because I'm female and I'm cis, and then Lee's body coded XY, so why can't we see that like Down syndrome? So we won't go and say a Down syndrome child isn't welcome in church, and we first have to do exorcism, and you know, they have to pray and trust God to change the Down syndrome before the child can come to church. So if we look at it in the same manner, the body is coding, the genes are coding for the wrong body. And yes, of course, it's cool to do surgery on a Down syndrome child's heart. Why isn't it cool to do surgery on a transgender person then?
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't equate it to the cognitive or anything else, but you know, if you just put it simple, it has had a aha moment for many people. You know, you use various kinds of like the six categories that Lee spoke about to make it easier for people, and everybody doesn't relate with everything, but people need to, sometimes you need to explain it to people like a child also, for them to understand it better.
And you know what's fascinating is that when we can find a different perspective, and so much of healing from my point of view is just finding and shifting perspective.
Yes.
We can find greater acceptance of something.
Yes.
And even from this is kind of a weird thought, and I haven't really developed it, and I've had quite nasty flu this week, and my head has been all clogged up, and I don't know if that's really thinking that clearly yet. But from a spiritual point of view, the existence of this energy in the world is an incredible opportunity of acceptance. Full stop. To look with inside of ourselves and to say, and we were talking briefly about this, and it's where I really want to go, is where is your heart in all of this? Because never mind the science, never mind the biology, never mind genitals, never mind the bodies, never mind anything else. Where is your heart in this? And that stays what it is. Lee?
Exactly. And you need to love yourself.
Yes.
And once you're in harmony with yourself, your heart is in one, that is when you can actually focus on life and focus and give 100% of your all.
Mm.
And that's what's important. And that's what makes society, your contribution to society, is when you can live your existence in full spectrum. And I'm not saying people who are trapped in situations can't live life.
Yeah.
Yes, they can. And many people do live a life and that kind of stuff. But when you are able to just live your life to what you are, there's so much more freedom in yourself. And I think so many people just take freedom for granted. You could equate that into a free and not free societies around the world kind of thing. But even if you take the free societies, there's still issues.
Yeah. And it's just another aspect of freedom. Because the interesting thing is, in our society, or in our world, and I'm talking generally about the Western world, we have put the greatest emphasis and blockage on anything to do with sex and genitals, and the greatest level of judgment.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, you can do almost anything. You can do almost anything financial. You can do almost anything political. You can do almost anything on so many levels and still be accepted or forgiven. The sexual is where we have put the greatest judgment.
Exactly.
And this is the greatest opportunity for freedom in that.
A lot of transgenders or whatever wait till very late to want to make that transition. So I think if you're younger, there's more, you haven't, I mean, you haven't had kids, you haven't had, I deal with a lot of people that have families, they have kids, they have relationships, they have stuff, but they want to so desperately change and do the ops and really live the complete woman life, you know, be who they want to be and what they were meant to be and what they dream of being, complete. But you got to think about your kids, your family, your job, your all those little things that even though you say, you know what, they'll still love me for being who I am. But it's a big decision because it's not just your decision at the end of the day once it's, you're older. Mm. I think it's everybody's decision now because a lot of lives get impacted by your decision that you now make. So how do you cope with that?
For me, it was not living a life of, and I don't want to use the word depression because trance isn't a depression, but just not having this happiness with inside yourself that I couldn't actually do the best for my family, for my kids, where now I can actually give them my 100% of myself.
And you're teaching authenticity in this.
Yeah.
And that's the greatest, for me, I think the greatest gift we can give our children is to be authentically who they are, regardless of what that is.
Mm. And I want to go back to the point of acceptance and also the authenticity. I think it's so important. So what I found with my clients is they aren't proud of who they are in male bodies. And the moment they convert to female, from there, because of the lack of the style or the image knowledge, they are not really proud of the way they look. And I feel that's quite important because the moment you accept yourself, you also have to be proud of yourself. And when you are proud of the way you look, it makes it so much easier for the people around you because now suddenly your children aren't afraid to let you go to school with them, or the people in your workplace are quite proud to have you in their company because you look amazing. And I've also found that with some of my clients that have wives and they stay together, the wife end up coming to me because she's jealous of the new look and how good her partner looks. So I'd say that's quite important also.
Huh. Wow.
I saw that the trans patients, that there's a need for somebody to help them with this, you know, because I mean, I'm 38 and I'm still struggling to put on lipstick properly, you know, and I do only lipstick and mascara.
I can't help you with that. There's so much that I could help, but
you look stunning.
I'm sorry.
Thanks. But no, you know, I've known Sirette and I just said to her one day, I think that we really need, and I knew she was an image consultant, I think we need an image consultant that will be sensitive to trans people and be able to help them. Because what I've seen is this trans person comes in there and you've got an image of, you know, and I'll often ask my trans people, so if you see a woman, who is it that you would like to be like, you know, are we talking Katy Perry or, and it's interesting because in a big body, it's not that easy to do that. And now, how do you actually go into the shopping center and just go and buy stuff for yourself looking like a man? You can't really go into the changing room and change stuff. And so, you know, trial and error and everything. And then when they've seen somebody like Sirette who can help them to put on clothes that's appropriate for their bodies, it's amazing to see what it does for themselves, the confidence that comes with that. And yes, I think it's beautiful. It's a big part of the, you know, the whole holistic approach that we do, because just changing the hormones doesn't make them feel completely congruent yet.
And also something.
To make it easier for them. So what I found is so many of my clients wear 20 products on their face with makeup, which is not needed. And why should a trans client spend 1 hour preparing for the day or wearing makeup or putting on her makeup, whereas I can teach her to actually just use 3 products, which makes it so much easier and just easier for daily life.
Listen, I think that there are an enormous amount of women full stop who could benefit so much from a lesson like that. And so many men who would be so grateful. And that is regardless of any label or orientation, full stop.
Look, I mean, trans women have got the challenge and some are more... One thing hormones doesn't do is stop beard development. Once testosterone is giving you a beard, you've got a beard. So, yeah, you know, that sometimes to cover that kind of stuff is a bit hard and on trans women, so sometimes there needs to be a bit of give on that part.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask something. I mean, I've never had a problem because I've always called cross-dressers a cross-dresser because you just assume that's what, because they call themselves that, but they offended when you call them that. So what I'd like to know from you is, And I saw last week, and it's just been this last month, and that means there's a lesson to be learned. I saw one trans woman. She wrote and she said, "I'm not transgender. I'm not cross-dresser. I'm a drag artist. Period." Okay. Then I heard somebody else. I was talking to a friend of mine, and it's somebody that dresses with me all the time, and she got quite emotional when we were talking, and she said, "I'm not a cross-dresser. I'm not a drag. I'm a transgender." And so what is the, you know?
Okay, so you're going to push me into this.
Yeah, no, we need to understand because I seem to be offending everybody
now. Come on, Lee, you know that this was going to come.
So gender fluidity, as I said, these are six areas of your non-binary gender fluid people. And that's the area that I would put them into. Where your trans men, trans women, if I can dare use the word transsexual, where they're actually transforming their body sexually. And by sexually, I'm talking sexual hormones. So everybody's got testosterone and estrogen. The one is just dominant than the other. Men have a dominant testosterone, and females have a dominant estrogen. So when you swap that around, that's when you're transsexually changing the hormones at a very chemical, physiological, is that the right word? Layer. But when you coming across and saying, okay, I'm a cross-dresser or I'm gender fluid, that's in the expression of a gender. That is not your core identity.
Mm. So it's very, what I've learned is, if you look, biological sex is complicated, and that's where doctors come in, but you ask a person, are you a man or are you a woman? They tell you. You don't actually even have to ask. They just know. They know, I'm a woman or I'm a man. So a cross-dresser will be a man, but that likes to dress up as a female, either for it's like a fetish, so it finds it sexually exciting to dress up like a woman, or it's just like a stage thing, you know, so likes to dress up.
You can't call them a cross-dresser. No.
Well, I mean,
I find that I'm offending everybody now because a drag artist does not want to be called trans.
You female. Can't do that. Don't put a label. You started perfectly fine asking, what's your name? And you just call them their name.
Yeah.
People like their names. And, you know, so if a person that presents as a male clearly comes in and says, I'm Victoria, he might only want to be Victoria for that hour, or she might really be Victoria as a person. And as you get to know them, you'll learn who they are. But
boxing is such a dangerous thing. Mm. And to label anyone is so dangerous.
And so the difficult thing becomes, you know, from an outsider in a particular community, and especially in the trans community, it becomes quite a minefield. Because
I always assume
very interesting one.
Sorry, I've always assumed that if you're not doing the whole procedure, like the hormones and that you're not transgender.
No.
That's what I assumed, and that's what I thought, and that is why I always labeled it, okay, you've got to be a cross-dresser, because even though you're feminine, and I call them by their female name, so you're Jack, you're Cindy, and you're Cindy, always. So I don't think of you as you're not a woman, but when I thought, if you're talking about somebody, and they're not doing the hormones, they're not doing any of those stuff, is it still a transgender?
Okay, so transgender is a holistic generic term for anyone who steps out of the binary normative of cisness. A transsexual is somebody who is physically transforming the body, hormonally or surgical.
Mm-hmm. And for me, more and more, it comes down to the heart and so much less of labels.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that becomes, what is normative?
Yeah.
And the answer is not... Well, there is no answer to that question.
Well, in our society and today, there is no
normal. Let's rather define what's not normal and stick to those rules.
And prejudice is not normal, and exclusion is not normal because it's not part of our hearts. And if we live from the heart and we go into the heart, prejudice doesn't exist there. Exclusion doesn't exist there. Judgment doesn't exist there.
Amen,
there's simply
brother.
Acceptance. But that's the truth.
No,
and
the truth. And it's actually, you know, the heart of each religion.
Yeah.
But it doesn't get lived like that.
You know, I was watching something last night. It was, it must have been a movie, because I was watching a movie. And there was a line. It was about something about a religion. Oh, okay. Now I remember. It was an old action movie, terrible movie with Charlie Sheen called Navy SEALs. And they, this woman is talking about Islam as actually being one of the more tolerant religions. And I actually had to laugh at that because, I mean, that phrase religion and tolerant in the same sentence is kind of a really interesting one. But if you go,
I can also show you which ones of the terror groups is more tolerant. It's also something we can do. Yeah. We can. It depends which category you're going to.
There we go. Yes. But the whole thing is that in tolerance, there is a place for absolutely every single one of us, because that's acceptance. And more for my work, it's just so much more in this heart of there is, everybody is in that space.
But a question.
And the idea that we are all connected and we're all from the same source. And that's the thing. We're all from the same place. So how can that level of separation exist? And I get the whole religious thing and the whole philosophical thing, and everybody has their own God, and absolutely, and today my God's better than yours, and if my God listens to me today and answers my prayers, then of course, you know,
it's better.
Yeah. And, but going to the heart, and I'm sorry, fuck the rest of you. With so much joy and pleasure and lots of lube and foreplay, so it will be pleasurable.
Sorry, John D. Another question. Sorry, I just got, because you're awesome.
Has to be a quick one.
I know. When somebody, when a transgender female puts on a social media that I'm not this or I'm not that, I'm not a drag artist, I'm not a drag queen, I'm not a crossdresser, I'm not a transgender, do you think that they trying to tell themselves in their heads what they really are, or are they trying to get a message across? Because I'm trying to think, like, why would you say this? Is it, am I answering a question that this is what I am, or are you trying to tell somebody else what you are?
So they're either scared or unable to come out, or aren't wanting to come out, or they're just non-binary.
Yeah, maybe they don't want to be defined.
And they don't want to live in a box of binary.
And this is something which is really... Sorry, doctor. I'll be right with you. I've always wanted to say it to you. I'll be right with you.
And then I'll say, thanks for coming.
Well, I haven't come yet, but we can work on that. No, I'm kidding. Just before you put it out there, because I'm sure you have a very good answer, I want to say that this is so important, because the biggest lesson that comes from me is why are we in such a rush and in such a, it's almost like anxiety to define. I wonder what would be the world of a world of just allowing and not defying and judging. And that's something that comes up for me.
People need that, or a lot of our world exists because of
that's also
of
a problem.
That.
Yeah, we'll and stop. Even trans people want that often. Yes. They want to be defined as binary, actually. But I know we're getting to the close here, and I just want to say, it's actually not that expensive or difficult to get help. I see a patient for free every Friday. Wow. So just get onto that waiting list and come. And then when we start with hormones, it's a few hundred rand, really. And then, you know, depending on what you want to do, yes, of course, surgery is like 160,000 rand, but a handful of my patients have had surgery. So I think we are creating this barrier to the transitioning because we think it's very expensive, but it really doesn't have to be that expensive.
And then can I plug myself?
Please do.
That we also, there's a community support group that's both social media based, and we meet.
It's all going to be in our podcast page.
Within Gauteng. And that is just a peer support group where we help each other. There's no professional kind of help.
Is that online? Is there a website?
Yeah,
you will be Facebook page.
Yeah.
What is the Facebook page?
I think we advertised it. Yeah, so it's on our Twitter and Instagram. It's going to be on our podcast page. It's what Dr. Elna gave me, and it's there.
Well, I didn't give the info about this.
So, Leanne, you told me you're going to send me all the info pack.
Yes.
That's for the listeners that are on the go. So they love watching, looking after all the information.
And Sarette's details as well.
Yeah, and what does it mean to, like, financially, to come and see you? What does it mean?
So what I do is I work either on Skype with my clients, wherever in the world they are. That's always cheaper. So my fees would start from 750 rand and up. And then I see clients for 3 days at a time. And that's obviously more expensive.
Sure.
So it depends on what they need. And also I tailor it to every client. So we could start slowly and we do, I explained to her before, we do, for instance, in one session only how to do your foundation. And then the next session, how to do your lips and how to do your eyes. So the client can do it according to their budget.
Amazing.
Which is perfect.
So it's, there's ways to make things accessible and there are people to help you. And that's really amazing. I'm really grateful for all of you being here. Thank you.
Can I just share one very quickly thing?
But it has to be.
Trance is not about social status, culture, religion, money. So we've got people in townships. We've got people in all aspects of life, religion. And so trance isn't just...
It's human.
It's human.
That's full stop. Mm. It's human and it's the heart. And thank you for sharing yourselves and your stories. It's so important. And there are so many aspects to this conversation. It's beautiful. And to be able to carry it on in different directions would be incredible. And it's such a beautiful lead-in to what we are doing next week. Mm. So to celebrate spring, we are doing a nude show. So, of course, you're all welcome. There is one proviso. You have to be nude in the studio. And you are, anybody is welcome. We have
nude pregnant women in the studio.
A nude pregnant woman would just be so amazing. So everybody is welcome.
Yeah, and also the separation. It's not a sexual environment. So people think, I'm going to come to a swingers party. That's going to be at Mistress Cleo's place. That's not our place. So here it's, we're going to call it, I think, kind of like John T's animalistic natural zoo. I don't know. We're going to close the blinds here, so please give us a shout if
you want
to.
So now we have blinds, actually, so you don't have to be on display for everybody. But the whole point of the show next week is about accepting the beauty of who you are, of being a sensual being at play in this amazing world.
And why are we separated from nature, actually, covering ourselves so much?
And to connect with that, with ourselves.
Next week, yay.
And that's next Friday morning, so everybody is welcome. No.
Unless we want our nipples to just cut people like...
Well, that might not be such a terrible thing.
Separate the naturality and the sexual, Jonty. Separate. No, sorry.
So just that would all just be amazing. So everybody is welcome next week. You do have to let us know if you will be arriving.
And bring your towel.
Because if I say just coming, then I know what tomorrow's going to say.
That's true. And then she orgasms.
And then she Did you find that show?
I found three shows that have it. So I'm looking.
But you've got to find the first
you're
one.
You're right. You're right. So the first one was less funny, but very cool. So yes, it's going on our podcast page.
Put that in the resource. That would just be fantastic. And the resources for all the wonderful people who are here will be up on our resource page. So you'll be able to contact them. And again, thank you. Really, this is beautiful, beautiful sharing. And the platform we have for this, the openness is amazing. And I'm really grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
And what is whole...
A hole in one.
Yeah, wholesomeness.
A hole in one is when a man can put his own cock into his anus.
That is very bendy cock. You should call it like a flexi cock or
whatever.
Or a broken back cock.
I don't know
cock.
If you'd want to if you could, but that's what it is.
Oh, Jonty. That's not... Oh, no, no. Oh, it's like... Oh, it's it's infinity. Feeding... What happens if you... Okay.
Okay, there we go. We are...
Out of here.
I wish you all so much pleasure.
This is CliffCentral.com.